The tanks are rolling in and troops are being redeployed. Israel's aggression against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip continues as talks in Egypt between the two sides ended without result. As Gazans were only just beginning to assess the extent of the loss and damage they've had to endure, the renewed attacks will bring more death and more destruction. Nowhere is safe in Gaza. In this edition of The Debate, we discuss the breakdown of talks in Egypt, Israel's goals in the resumption of hostilities, and the price that the Palestinians in Gaza will be paying for freedom. Now joining us from Montreal is Bruce Katz. He's the co-president of the Palestinian and Jewish Unity. And joining us from London is Richard Millett, journalist and political commentator. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us here in this edition of The Debate. Now I'd like to put my first question to you, Mr. Katz. As the temporary ceasefire came into effect and the world started waking up to the catastrophe that was Gaza, it was presumed that such aggression will never be allowed again. Did the world and major players do enough to ensure a lasting agreement was reached in Egypt?
I think that at the outset there was a problem in terms of the players. The suggestion had earlier been made by John Kerry, it was a good one, that Qatar and Turkey be part of the representatives who would work on a ceasefire. That was rejected outright by Israel because it would appear that Israel wants to continue to dictate unilaterally what the elements of such talks would be. And so it was done essentially between Palestinian representatives in Egypt. And it might be worthwhile to note that Egypt has been part of the problem, that its closure of the border at Rafah was probably what led to the initial violence in the first place. I think that the sticking point here is the fact that after Palestinians in Gaza have suffered such tremendous losses, that they can do nothing else except demand that the blockade be lifted as part of a permanent ceasefire. This Israel has refused and has demanded rather that the Palestinians in Gaza disarm completely before there's even a partial lifting of the blockade. This is not something that is going to lead to any type of permanent end to the violence.
Okay, we'll get in a bit to the topic of demands as far as Israelis and Palestinians are concerned. Let me get Mr. Millett's reaction, though, to Egypt being the venue and the mediator of these talks. Mr. Millett, can Sisi's Egypt be considered the appropriate and honest broker when it comes to the situation in Gaza?
Well, Egypt has brokered deals before. It brokered a deal that ended with the release of Gilad Shalit after 5 years and the return of over 1,000 Palestinians. So Egypt is a neighbour. The problem is, where else is there? Hamas is the problem. It's can you do a deal with an organisation like Hamas, which is committed to the murder Jews, to murdering Jews and to destroying Israel? This is all, at the end of the day, that Hamas wants. I mean, you've got to remember the ceasefire ended prematurely because Hamas didn't even want to see out the negotiations because they fired rockets into Israel. The sympathy, worldwide sympathy for Hamas is diminishing. They're part of the same problem we've seen. The beheading of James Foley in Syria, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas, these are all part, or as Netanyahu said, the same tree, the same Islamist, extremist Islamist ideological tree that is determined to not just attack its enemy, but to attack its own people. And they're killing Muslims, as well as Christians, as well as Jews.
Right, Mr. Millett, I don't want to move away from the topic here. We will probably discuss ISIS in another debate, hopefully. Let me just ask Mr. Katz then. Mr. Katz, is Hamas the problem here? Because let's not forget, Hamas was not the only party that was representing the Palestinians in these talks in Egypt. And also, let's not forget that many have criticized Egypt for not being a neutral player in the sense that it has been helping Israel's blockade on the Gaza Strip by closing the Rafah border crossing.
Let me first comment on the gentleman's opinion that Hamas is equal to ISIS. That's a rather gratuitous parallel. Let's first mention the fact that Hamas has not and has never made any attempt to impose Sharia law on the Palestinians in Gaza. There is a working opposition of Fatah, about 200,000 members in Gaza. There are also civil society groups that operate in Gaza. If there is a concern about ISIS, I would say that some accountability should be demanded of Senator John McCain, who in just last year in 2013 held a secret meeting with members of the so-called Syrian rebels and was seen in the company of al-Baghdadi, who was the so-called chief or caliph of this radical Islamic group that was killing Christians in Syria,
right,
and then moved over the border into Iraq, where they've been massacring Christians there as well. So the parallel does not hold. Let me also mention the fact that the blockade, which has now lasted for almost 8 years, condemning the Palestinians in Gaza to live under the most inhumane of living conditions, that this came on the heels of a democratic election which was held under the observation of international observers who stated that this was a legitimate election. So the entire circumstances have led up to the violence that we're seeing today has actually been caused by the government of Israel over time. Now, if it's true that Israel was serious about coming to some sort of understanding with Hamas over a question of a ceasefire, why did Israel reject, as former president of the United States Jimmy Carter and former Irish President Mary Robinson have stated, why did Israel refuse Qatar's offer to pay the salaries of civil servants in Gaza when it's well known that if any type of normalcy is to return to Gaza, the civil servants must be paid?
Let me just jump in there, Mr. Katz. We're quickly running out of time. I'd like to get Mr. Millett's input on this, too. Mr. Millett, I'm just going to read out to you a quote by Hamas leader Khaled Mash'al, where he says, "Our message to the world is that it's high time to deal with the root cause of the problem by ending the occupation and settlement building and allowing the Palestinian people to live in peace on their own land." Now, this obviously is a theme of the Palestinian demands in the indirect talks in Egypt, which also includes the lifting of the blockade of the Gaza Strip. Why is that so unacceptable to Israel?
Well, Israel, there is no occupation. There are no settlements in Gaza. I mean, this is, this is just a propaganda technique.
This is a Palestinian demand, Mr. Millett, not a Hamas demand.
But there are no settlements in Gaza. So
there are settlements on Palestinian land. Let's not forget this. They have been deemed illegal by the international community, by the UN.
Well, actually, they haven't been deemed illegal by anyone but yourself. There is no Palestinian state. So how can you say that any structure on the West Bank is illegal? This is your conclusion, but you can't prove anything. Lifting the blockade, Israel supplies food, Israel supplies electricity, Israel supplies the everyday needs for the Gazan people. The problem is all the rest of the money that Hamas receives and all the concrete doesn't go towards the Gazan people, it goes towards building tunnels and building rockets with which they want to attack Israel. Hamas doesn't look after its own people. If it wanted to look after its own people, it would build hospitals, it would build schools, it would even build air raid shelters. Israel builds air raid shelters. Hamas just wants to build tunnels for its own fighters. It has no concern, obviously, for its own people. Otherwise, instead of building tunnel after tunnel, they would also build air raid shelters where Palestinians could go to when Hamas starts launching rockets into Israel and Israel retaliates. This is obvious proof that you just don't want to see, that Hamas is the root cause of the problems, not only for Israel, but for the Palestinians. Like ISIS kills Muslims, Hamas kills Palestinians. They've got their own children to build tunnels, of which up to 160 Palestinian children died digging them. It then executes many, many Palestinians who disagree with Hamas. And to talk about elections is ridiculous. The last election was in 2006, 8 years ago. You can't say it's a democracy when there hasn't been an election in Gaza for 8 years.
There hasn't been an election because these people are under blockade, so how can they hold an election? As for hospitals, how can they have hospitals when it's Israel's bombed them into nothingness, all of their structures? They've bombed them three times in 6 years, and it's become something of a circus where, as a British member of parliament said, Israel bombs first and then weeps later. There are so many fallacies in the argument that the gentleman has presented that I can't respond to all of them at one time. But let me say this, that in terms of international law, Israel is, under international law, a belligerent occupant, even if it has no settlement as such, because it controls the territory. And under international law, a belligerent occupant has police powers, but has no right under international law to launch a military strike against a civilian population. International law imposes responsibilities on Israel as the occupying, as a belligerent occupant, to preserve the life and the goods and the domiciles of the civilian population under its control. So Israel, as an aggressor here, a military aggressor, is in complete transgression of international law and has transgressed the Convention on Genocide. So whatever the gentleman is talking about is absolutely absolute nonsense.
Okay, Mr. Militz, I will let you respond in just a bit. Let me just cross over to our social media pages. This conversation is being also held by our viewers. Let's take a listen to some of their comments.
Israel is a terrorist state that has held the indigenous people of Palestine under a brutal military occupation for 66 years. Israel is a racist apartheid state. It's pretty easy to see who the terrorists are. Resisting injustice is not terrorism. No deal without lifting the siege on Gaza and ending the apartheid. Hamas is a terrorist organization which believes Israel should not exist. The Israeli siege on Gaza must be lifted. The people of Palestine must accept a long-term truce with Israel. Israel will not rest during the truce. They will pursue their agenda by whatever means necessary. Palestine needs an alternative venue for justice if it is being obstructed at the ICC. Asia should create its own tribunal with enforcement arm.
Well, those are some of the comments on our Facebook and social media pages by our viewers as they continue this conversation there. Let me cross over now to Mr. Millett. Mr. Millett, Benjamin Netanyahu has said that he will continue the onslaught on the Gaza Strip until Israel's security needs are met. Now, Let me just walk through some of the economic costs as released by the Palestinians. The losses in the business sector in Gaza stand around 60%, 50% unemployment rate. 500 production facilities were bombed by Israel in Operation Protective Edge. We also have more than 50% of the poultry resources destroyed and around 10% of the fishing resources that have been lost. How does that even begin to meet Israel's security concerns?
Well, obviously Israel hasn't been targeting any civilian structures. I mean, as we've just seen over the last 24 hours, Israel has assassinated three top Hamas militant leaders, plus Mohammed Daif, one of the biggest targets Israel had in Hamas, looks as if he's also been assassinated. Many of the deaths, and this is not an attack on the Palestinians, this is not an attack on civilian infrastructure. As we've seen over the last 24 hours, this is obviously an attack on Hamas. Hamas broke the ceasefire, and with that comes the responsibility that Israel has to protect its own civilians, and they've been going after Hamas. And as we've seen proof, we've seen films of Hamas firing rockets within the vicinity of civilians.
But let me interject there, Mr. Millett. Over the past 24 hours, we've had tens of Palestinians being killed. Three of them were the Hamas leaders that you've pointed out. The rest have been children, such as a four-year-old child who succumbed to his wounds just a few hours ago.
Well, you know, as I say, as I just said, Hamas fires within, you know, next to these civilians. You've got to blame Hamas. As I said previously in this program, Hamas doesn't care about its own people. It doesn't kill, it doesn't build air raid shelters. It doesn't want to protect its civilians. Not only does it not want to protect them, it wants to have them killed, as we've seen. So it can try to win the sympathy of the world, and that was actually working until we've seen what's been happening with ISIS in Syria and in Iraq, and many parts of the people in the world are now coming to realize Hamas, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, they're all the same.
Okay, Mr. Katz, many people have said that in order for the Gazans to live freely, so to speak, the Hamas and the Palestinian leadership should just give in to the demands of the Israelis and live in what is now considered by many as apartheid. Is that freedom?
That's not freedom, not by any stretch of the imagination. The Palestinians have decided they're not going to fall to their knees. They're not going. This is an indigenous people that has been the subject of displacement by a white settler, white European settler society since 1948. And basically, the genocidal attacks that we're seeing carried out against them is the culmination of a process that was set underway more than 66 years ago. I might also mention the fact this has not been dealt with. It hasn't been talked about. The fact of the matter is that there's a huge natural gas reserve in the sea off the coast of Gaza, which Israel has been exploiting since it opened its blockade of Gaza in around eight years ago. So I would suggest to you that part of this genocidal attack on the Gazans is also a question of Israel wishing to maintain control of the natural gas resources in the sea. Let me also add this point. There's been talk about Hamas wanting to destroy Israel, although Jimmy Carter and Mary Robinson have stated categorically that Hamas accepted the conditions that had been imposed by the quartet, which includes the United States and Russia and the European Union. But let me mention the fact that the Likud charter states categorically it will never recognize a Palestinian state on the borders of Israel, and that for Likud, Israel constitutes Judea, Samaria, and Gaza.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, Mr. Katz. I'm afraid we've run out of time. Mr. Richard Millens, I'm really sorry. We've run out of time, and we don't have time for you to respond. However, I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, for your input and participation in this edition of the debate. That was Richard Millett, journalist and political commentator, joining us from London. And joining us from Montreal was Bruce Katz, co-president of the Palestinian and Jewish Unity. From me and the entire team here in Tehran, it's thank you and goodbye.